from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I want to draw a line in the sand, okay?
All right.
There's pressure, and then there's like hot seat. Those are two very, very different things. I would argue that, I mean, do you have kids? Do you have a job? Do you have somewhere that you're supposed to be on the daily basis? Do you have bills to pay?
That's pressure.
Yeah.
You're not on the hot seat?
You can't fire me from my job.
Right.
Yeah. What are kids going to do? Hey, we need a new dad. Sorry. Store's all out.
Yeah.
I'm all you got.
Waiver wire.
Well, you could try. But, like, that's pressure. Okay? And so we all feel that to a degree. However, our business, of course, loves to tag things. They love to get clicks. They love to get attention. They love to get everybody buzzing. And I know we all get accused of that sometimes because there's no way to know you're just making this up to get everybody all riled up. We don't do that on this show. We don't do that on this station. We might have an opinion that you firmly disagree with. That doesn't mean we're making it up. I say all that to say this. If there is anyone out there in our industry or another that thinks that Kyle Shanahan and or John Lynch are on any kind of a hot seat, you can go ahead and unfollow and unclick and unlisten to that absolute insane dribble for the rest of your lives. That is unequivocally absurd. It's an absurd, baseless claim.
Sources.
Stop. Absolute banana land.
Insider whisper.
If you want to bite the hook, if you want to chew on the hook and get reeled in,
hot seat.
That is your choice. Be a largemouth bass and bite the fake worm, and whoop, you get pulled right out of the water and go have
Super
your day.
Bowler bus.
You can go do that if you want.
Hot seat.
Absolute fake dribble. Unsubscribe. That would be my suggestion to you.
I like the rant.
Okay.
Hate to correct another man's rant, but it's drivel, not dribble.
I like to call it dribble. Shut up and dribble. That's what I do.
This is drivel, so you could say shut up and drivel, which would be more appropriate for this particular piece of content.
I'm going with dribble. Okay? I'm speaking my English.
I'm going with whispers and sources.
Fine.
Hot seat.
Absolute banana land.
When you talk about, and we're going to go to the phones in 60 seconds, but when you talk about pressure versus hot seat, I look at 32 coaches in the NFL, and all 32 of them are under pressure. Whether it's pressure to be better than last year, pressure to make the playoffs, or pressure to finally win a Super Bowl in the quest for 6, they're all under pressure. We can talk hot seat in a different way, and there are coaches who are already on the hot seat. Kyle Shanahan is not among them.
No.
I do think Sean McDermott is on a little bit of a hot seat.
That's an interesting one.
Because they've been in the playoffs every damn year.
Teams that don't get over the top, and he's got supposedly one of the two best players in the entire game, and now they're reworking receivers. And
Yeah,
I'm with you, and they turned the ball over like a machine last
year.
Mike
McCarthy, I think his seat's hot. Sirianni goes in with a hot seat. Other than that, you got some warm seats. Dennis Allen's seat is always pretty tepid, pretty warm down there in New Orleans, just because I don't think he's a very good coach.
Yeah, I mean, again, like if you want to talk preseason hot seat, that's probably Mike McCarthy, maybe Sirianni. I don't really know how much further it goes than that, to be honest with you. Antonio Pierce has got some things that he needs to prove. Obviously,
that team's a mess.
I guess, but nobody's.
Do you want to reboot that thing
nobody's
again?
Nobody's expecting it to be anything different. It feels like the Bears coach is always on the hot seat. So that's just kind of an omnipresent thing. But yeah, the whole just stop. So let's have a much more intelligent conversation about what Peter Schrager said, which is that he's got the most riding on it. I think that's a little bit different. He's got the squad, right? And you might be a window closing or a window opening person. I'm sort of like trusting enough in the 49er front office that I'm like, I think like my hope as a fan is that the window just stays open. I don't really get the idea of, well, we got a 24-year-old quarterback. We're about to break him off so that we can officially close our window for good.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell are we talking about?
For me, the window closing becomes disrespectful not only to Brock, but Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch as well. Because the way you keep your window open is by having a very, very good quarterback, which it looks like they might and they probably do have, and then surrounding him with pieces who are making less money through the draft, which hopefully you did that this year with a pretty good draft as it looks right now.
No doubt. And that's the Niners' job. Like, I know it's hard for people to go, well, but Kittle and Warner and McCaffrey and Williams, and then we'll suck. Well, it's like, no, it's their job to replace those people.
Exactly.
You got to go find the new Kittle and the new Warner. And I know that's hard. That's hard. Hard to wrap your head around it. But that's their job. And they have done roster construction work that's not perfect, but it's been positive direction stuff here or there every year.
Yeah.
From the fact that what they acquired at the very beginning when they took this job, it was a dumpster fire. And they've built this. And it will never make sense to me that people are like, not very good at drafting. Oh, no.
They've had hits and misses. Sure. We've been over this so many times.
Every team does. But how do you have this many people to pay if you suck at building a roster? How? I don't care if you got them through the draft or acquired them through a trade, free agency, whatever. How do you have this many people that you want to pay if you stink at roster construction?
And how are you in the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years if you stink at roster construction? That to me is a non-starter topic.
Of course. But, yes, there is a lot riding on this for Kyle Shanahan. I wouldn't put him at the top of the whole league. But to me, this is more a discussion, less about firing or hiring. This is much more a discussion about the brand that is the San Francisco 49ers. Why does Kyle Shanahan have so much riding on this? Because every football fan in America knows exactly who he is, knows the roster, knows the story, watches Netflix, Super Bowl misses, near misses, knows this player, that player, number one overall pick in fantasy. That's why he's got so much riding on it. If we walked out of this building and down onto Market Street right now and asked people who the head coach of the Saints is, nobody would even know. Nobody even knows who the head coach.
Former Raider great.
Exactly. Nobody even knows who are the Bengals under pressure? Go ahead, name their coach. And I know some of you have that. But, that's why Kyle Shanahan's got so much riding on it. He's one of about 5 or 6 coaches who we know across the board, household names.
Right. It's because they've been in the Super Bowl or very close to it in 4 of the last 5 years. So, yeah, there's a lot riding on it, and there's a lot on his shoulders. But at the same time, if they fall short of the ultimate bar, he keeps his job next year unequivocally, and so does John Lynch. There's no way either one of them loses their job. So even if you want to talk about pressure, there's pressure on all these teams to do something, and there is pressure on him to win the Super Bowl.
Insane dribble. I appreciate you calling me out on that.
I try.
I know. I like it. I like it. I want to be corrected when I'm wrong. Let's go to Andy.
I should have corrected that because that was a bold-faced lie.
I do. Well, no, it's just like...
It's not by Steiny.
Well, no, it's the first time it happened. So anyway, let's go to...
Too late on the buzzer for him. Never miss one on the dimmer.
Let's go to Andy.
Thank you.
Andy in Redwood City. Andy, what are you doing? Andy. Oh!
Hi, guys. Going through traffic.
Okay, no, you're fine. Yeah, glad to have you.
Andy, can we call timeout 2 seconds into your play? What's going on in there? What are we doing? Are
this
we okay?
Was him. This wasn't me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Andy, are you there?
I'm here. Right. I'm here, if you can hear me.
Let's ride. We can hear you.
All right. So, first off, I don't believe that Lynch and Shanahan are on the hot seat. Other teams in our division would give their left hand to have this setup that we have right now. That's for one.
Yep.
Now, I don't really believe that. Well, I'm a little bit pessimistic. I know Dibs in one of the shows ran through historical data of losing teams going back to the Super Bowl. It's hard to go back to the Super Bowl as a winning team, more so than a losing team. So I would like for the Niners to go back to the Super Bowl, but I'm a little pessimistic that they're going to reach that level this year.
Now, why is that, Andy? And actually, let me ask it in a different way. Why is your mind even there on September 3rd?
It's hard to go back to the Super Bowl. Again, as a winning team,
yeah,
it's hard to go back-to-back, right? And yeah. So many things can happen. Like, for example, you guys are talking about Detroit earlier. Detroit was super successful last season, but they can have a drop-off this year and things wouldn't go their way. You know, one game, two games, three games, they might not get the bounce of the ball and they might lose games. And that could happen to us too, so... Just thinking about it that way.
Well, and Andy, I mean, obviously you're right, but here's how I'd answer that. And thanks, Andy. Like, there's a reason that Vegas does not allow you to bet on teams to not make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not allowed to do that. And the reason is that 31 out of 32 times you'd be right.
Exactly.
And 32 out of 32 times you're almost definitely super duper probably right. Like, you're not allowed to do that because that's where almost every team is going. They are going to not win the Super Bowl. And it's incredibly difficult, no matter how good you are. So that's kind of what I'm getting. Like, Andy spoke perfectly, Dibs, to what I was trying to say to you earlier. I think it's easy to be pessimistic. I think it's easy to say that you're predicting a less than expected season because, like, saying the opposite of that is just too easy. It's too easy to be like, so here's my hot take. Niners are going to be good this year. Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, it feels like only bad stuff can happen because the bar is way the hell up here.
Well, there's two bars, really. The first bar is to make the playoffs, and then when you make the playoffs, you'll be one of 14 teams with a chance to win the Super Bowl. So then you get to the second bar, and the second bar has obviously been very difficult to reach since the 90s when you won your last Super Bowl back in 1995 after the 94 season. So, yeah, there are two bars. And for me, if you want to look at just the first bar, I don't think that they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to win 13 games. So does that make me pessimistic to think that 11-6 in a wild card? That to me doesn't feel like pessimism when you go into a season where you have so much rest disadvantage. And again, that's the amount of days you have off versus your opponent has off. You have one of the worst rest disadvantages in history. And I was just looking at the Sharp football numbers on last year, the three games where they had the biggest rest disadvantage last season. Cincinnati had 8 more days of rest. You lost that game. The Browns, they were coming off a bye. You weren't. You lost that game. And I know it was a kicker. Came down to a kick. Your kicker missed. You lost the game. And the only other one was Seattle, where they were coming off a mini bye, having played on the Thursday. So they had about a 3-day advantage. You won the game against Seattle, but you didn't cover the spread. Either way, this year you've got 8 of those games where you have less rest than your opponent. So I think those games just inherently are going to be more difficult than they otherwise would.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. I just also, like, I'd love to point out, how difficult it is to be healthy, have things go your way, be the right team. Other teams are really good too. The ball bounces off the helmet. Does it go to the receiver's hand or does it go the other way? Like, all that stuff has to fall in place, yet still, 4 out of 5 years, NFC title game. So it's like, that to me, that speaks to sort of what this particular group has built. And here's what I can assure you. The 49ers inside that building are beyond frustrated that they don't have the Lombardi Trophy. But they do not take that for granted. That would be highway robbery to take 4 trips to the NFC title game and 2 trips to the Super Bowl in 5 years. To take that for granted. To think that it's like, if you don't do well this year, we're going to go find somebody else to coach this team and be the general manager of this team. Like, that's absurd. No one is taking for granted what has been achieved here, because it's really hard to do it, but they still do it almost every year.
They do, and they've been really, really close to not doing it a couple of years ago, where you needed to win in the last game of the year, and you needed points in the last drive of the regular season just to get in, and you needed a miracle stop by Dre Greenlaw at the goal line to get that done. So it's not like the margin of error has been so great where you've been rolling out of bed and pumping out 13 and fours. It's been difficult. And last year, almost everything broke your way. You had a little spell where you didn't have Trent and Debo, but other than that, your main guys were all healthy.
Except for you, even with all that said, you went into back-to-back fourth quarters in the playoffs where it looked like you were up a creek.
Right.
And then you won both of those games. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking earlier today to Christy about this. We're sitting there talking about Shanahan, and I was going, you know, for somebody who supposedly can't win the big one, you know what he's never done in his 49er tenure? Make the playoffs and just bow the bleep out right away. Like, just walk in and lose in the first round. Never happened.
Yeah.
Never happened.
No wild card loss.
Nothing. Nothing.
No divisional loss.
They went to Lambeau Field in a storm.
What a game that was.
And were the worst team and still found a way to come out with a win. A
punt
walk.
That was the Hufanga?
Hufanga? Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on the conversation. Hi, Rich. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I believe that either John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan are in the hot seat, or the cooker, or whatever you want to call it, to lose their jobs if they don't get to the Super Bowl. And the reason why is because, you know, before they signed BA, and they're probably going to get this done with Trent Williams, yeah, there was a chance, okay, because they didn't have all their pieces. But they get the Trent Williams thing done, they got all their pieces. So it's like, okay, there's no real reason to think that, hey, you know, if this doesn't work out, yeah, we're gonna just flip the script, and guess what? The two of you are gone. And it's like, you know, we're just going to re-roll. No, you're not going to do that. And you know why you're not going to do that? Because you're paying everybody. You distributed the money. So if you distributed the money, it means you believe this roster can get it done. And if that's so, you don't blame your general manager and head coach if they don't get there. You relook at the roster. But right now, everybody's paid. The money's been delivered. So, hey, Roll with the brain trust. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rich, thank you. I mean, here's what I notice about the entire conversation in the NFL about players and stuff. You get to the point where it seems like a lot of people feel like teams are forced to pay these players. And they're not. Like, I get it. The pressure of, oh, you're right there with a bite of the apple. Come on, man. Keep this group together. You can win the Super Bowl. Does that mean you're forced to sign up for people for 5 years who you don't want? Like, one of the questions I wanted answered all offseason is, how badly do the Niners want Brandon Ayuk on the team? I know they want him. I know he's good.
Pretty badly, as it turns out.
Yeah, but
they had a chance to trade him.
Well, but that's
before the draft, even.
Well, but that's why I was asking the question.
Yeah.
How can you simultaneously be like, dude, we have got to pair you with Brock for 5 years for $30 million, or trade you? I mean, like, how can you have both of those thoughts at the same time?
Because you're not really paying him $30 million a year for 5 years.
Correct.
You're paying him a bunch for two, and then we'll see.
Yeah, or three. I mean, it's probably three because the first 2 years of the new extension are largely, those are going to be thumpers. And
big
you have
money
this year
up front, yeah. And then you get after 2 years, and then you have a choice to make whether or not you want to buy him out and take the hit, the cap hit, or continue down the road, maybe rework his deal, as you were mentioning with Mark Schlereth, cap schmap, which he's now using on a national basis.
I'm excited about that.
There are ways that you can make this alleged five-year deal a two or a three. But yeah, it is interesting what you're saying about, you know, Brandon, we're shopping you. We want to have you for 5 years and 150. We're shopping you.
It's like, some of this is, to me, very much not true. I'm sure, yes, did they take calls? Did they work it? All of that. But then did you hear Brandon? Brandon essentially is like, for the last month, we've been fine. You have?
Well, I mean, yeah, because at that point, he had already said no to New England.
No, but he ends up, like, within the last month is also the time that many of us walked in here and thought this trade to the Steelers was going to happen any minute. And he's like, no, we're fine. So what's true, what's false, I don't know. You can't simultaneously have the desire to trade a player and do $30 million a year for 5 years or 2 years or 3 years or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, sure you can. You absolutely, that's how you have to do it. You have to let the player know you love him and you want him here forever, while at the same time, you're out there catting around trying to see what you can get for him.
No, but you're talking about leverage and negotiation. I'm talking about in your heart of hearts, what do you want? Like, do you want Brandon Ayuk to be a absolute foundational piece of Brock Purdy's 49ers career?
For now.
Or do you want Cortland Sutton? Like, what are we doing? What did you want?
He's not Mr. Right, but he's Mr. Right now. And that's what you want. You put a ring on it, sort of. You put a promise ring on it. You're not getting married.
To a degree, in a Niners way, you are.
Well, there's always an annulment.
There's always an out.
You can get annulled after a couple of years.
And
there's always an out.
And if you're good, then you will write Trent Williams. Trent Williams had a huge deal, and then it had all those dangling non-guaranteed years. And then we arrived here, and he's like, no.
And that's where we are with the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. Of course they want him to be a 49er this year in particular, and probably next year too. And then after that, everything is up for grabs in the NFL. In baseball, when these deals are all fully guaranteed, you actually have to make a commitment, and then you have to stick by it. Unless it's one of these opt-out Robbie Ray contracts, yep, or a mutual opt or a player opt or the rest of it. When you sign a guy, 8 years, $250 million, that's it. You got him. Jung-Hoo Lee. You put a ring on it,
yep,
and he got hurt, but you got Jung-Hoo Lee as long as he wants to still play baseball and until you want to trade him. Unlike this where, yeah, Brandon, we really want you. We'll give you $30 million a year. We're going to give you a lot now so that maybe we can give you none later. Here, sign right here.
I mean, even Brock Purdy, I know as we sit here today, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, come on, $60 million a year. We're doing this next year. Are we? I don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen between now and then. The 49ers, it's not a rule that you have to just be like, well, like, we're not interested in that player, but we'll give him $60 million a year because, I don't know, there are people in the media think we're supposed to.
Yeah.
So we'll do it. Like, no, they're not stuck between a rock and a hard place here. This is a wonderful place. This is a roster that brings about jealousy all over the country. You should listen to Pittsburgh Sports Radio for the last month. The Steelers now.
Oh, they wanted Ayuk.
That's the Steelers. The Pittsburgh flipping multiple Super Bowl traveling fan base Steelers. And they're in an unbelievable thirst trap. Sitting here, like, looking across the country going, dude, number 11, he's the eighth best receiver in the NFL. We'll give it all up for him so we could have one of those guys. It feels like the 49ers have nine of those guys. I mean, they're paying at least that many. So this is not a problem. This is not a window closing. This is not, it's not any of those things. It's a phenomenal place to be.
And if they didn't want to pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year, they wouldn't have. And they would have had him play on his fifth-year option, or they would have franchised him. And if they don't want to give Brock Purdy $60 million, and they want to try their luck again in the draft, in the back half of the draft, and see if they can catch lightning in a bottle a second time, they can do that. They don't have to pay any of these players any money that they don't want to, but they happen to value their roster, and they happen to think that they're in a good spot right now as a team, so that's why they're doing this.
Let's go to Robin in the city. Hi, Robin. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you, guys. I told you, the guy who answered the phone, I forgot his name. He said, how's it going? I said, I got to get a life because all I like to do is call you guys, okay?
Robin, two things. His name is Carter, and please don't ever get a life. We really would like you to keep calling us.
We like your life as it is.
I don't like the kids. I don't think I could do a husband. Anyway, but listen, what inspired me to call was Rich, and I like Rich, but you guys always correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I don't call here thinking I know it all. Just my opinion, and it's a little education from y'all. But what the hell are people thinking about getting rid of Kyle Shanahan? First of all, Jared York don't have the balls to do so, I don't really think. And then didn't they just give him contracts? They basically run the show. So I know it came out from a report from Grant Cohen. Carter told me that. And it must be a slow journalist day or whatever to strike up, you know, that conversation. They're not going nowhere. Do you think, one, Jet actually would have the balls to do that? You guys get rid of them? Shanahan runs the show. And the thing about, and let me tell you, yes, he fell short in the Super Bowl. But think about it, what he's done year after season after season. He's lost to, coordinators, defensive coordinators, and he got to keep on pushing. He's lost, you know, people in the front office. I mean, he's got to keep players. He's got to keep pushing that year after year after year. Yes, he comes up short, but look at what he lost. And this team this year is different and has me a little worried, you guys, because that offensive line, I'm glad we got Trent, but Trent needs some help, okay, you guys? I'm really worried about that. Peace out, and I love you.
All right,
okay.
Love you too, Robin.
Robin,
thank
again,
you.
I think your life is just fine, and thank you for calling.
For me, Mark, just real quick, it's less about balls and more about brains, because it's not that if this season winds up at 10-7 and you're a wild card and you lose that game and you're mad and you think, you know what, I've got the cojones, I'm firing both of these guys. Okay, now what, hotshot? Now what are we going to do?
Oh,
I have an idea.
I mean,
well, now we need a new GM and we need a new head coach. And I hope that they can get along, and I hope your head coach is better than your current one. Good luck with that. And I hope your GM has the reputation of Gold Jacket and the reputation that he has around the league. Good luck with that. So for me, it's less about stones or rocks or cojones, and it's more about brains. Because you look at this, even if this year winds up in disappointment, you still have a young quarterback who's going to be a star. You have one of the best coaches in football. You don't do a damn thing in the C-suite.
Well, look, social media, we all know. We understand social media. Social media is not comfortable when things
are
good.
And hot takery.
Right. They're not comfortable when things are good. So nobody wants to say that. So you got to take it into a different direction. The entire concept of the idea that the owner of the team would feel like spending was happening out of his control is laughable. Who do you think greenlights the contracts? Who do you think puts the money in the escrow account? These contracts don't just have, like, oh God, wait, what did we do? The owner is aware. The owner is aware.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I used to steal money from my late father, Dwayne, and he was unawares.
My parents had cash in a Band-Aid box.
Yeah, of course. It's always the Band-Aid box.
In the medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
And I would go in there if they weren't home and I wanted to get myself some dinner, and I would order a pizza and I would use the money in the Band-Aid box.
Cash me out one time?
Many times.
Oh, boy.
But it wasn't really considered stealing, because we grew to an understanding that if the parents did not provide you dinner, you were allowed to go get some money and get yourself some dinner.
Put a Band-Aid on your tummy.
I kind of still do the same thing to this day. Like, if I'm out, if me and Christy are going to go out to dinner and the kids are like, What are we doing from dinner? Go get yourself something nice. Or go to the freezer.
Exactly.
There's an entire kitchen full of food in there. Why don't you eat something from there, you ungrateful? No.
Cook something. Exactly.
Like, yeah, go take care of yourself.
So I think you're right, though, about the Niners. I don't think that Jed York has a Band-Aid box of $47 million. And John's got to tiptoe into the bathroom and pull it out into petty cash. I'm pretty sure the owner is aware of everything that's going on.
That would be so amazing. Can you imagine Jerry Jones or Jed York or any of these people, you know what I mean, just walking in and going, hey, I've been on vacation. What'd we do? We paid who? Like, come on. Every time you see that guaranteed number, every time you see it, guaranteed at signing, that means that owner either wrote a check or pulled out their app and made a transfer, that money goes straight to an escrow account. Okay? Unless Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is working for your team, you don't have people going into that account moving money without you knowing. So this idea that this has all happened somehow under their noses and they didn't know it, absurd. And then there's this. You remember Kyle Van Noy?
Yeah.
Defensive lineman, right? So they've got the McCoy and Van Noy podcast.
Sounds about right.
It was good that they got together because they rhyme. I wonder if that's how the conversation started.
No doubt.
Hey, buddy, your name and my name rhyme. We should do a podcast. And here it is. McCoy and Van Noy. And Kyle Van Noy, through Yahoo, it might be a Yahoo, because he says the Niners window is closing.
They have a lot of similarities to when I was playing in a dynasty or a team that was consistently ready to play in the show every year. And it's going to take a lot of effort. And I'm going to go with two. Like, I saw Manti Te'o on NFL Network talk about they look tired. You don't see the same energy and whatnot. But my rebuttal to that would be, because I also agreed with him, is that they know what it takes. They're a veteran group, and I think they know that their window is closing. And I think that this year is huge for the Niners. Like, I think after this year, they're going to have to make drastic changes in their players and whatnot.
Okay, so are they going to have to make changes? I'm not going to argue that. I have no idea where this is going in terms of roster construction. But again, until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to keep hitting the same note. If you honestly, as a franchise, if you really, truly believe we're bleeped after this year, man, we don't even know what to do with this roster anymore. If that's how you feel, then yeah, trade Brock and go draft somebody. Don't sign him.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
If you think your roster's totally bleeped.
Why would you give $300 million to a 24-year-old quarterback if you think you're about to stink? Why would you do that?
You wouldn't.
Do what the Vikings did.
Yep.
Buy a quarterback.
Yep. And start it all over.
We'll start over.
I'll pay the wide receiver $70 million or whatever he's getting. So
yeah.
That's not really the formula for winning football. And the Niners know that, and Kyle knows it. So a better thing to do is what they're doing, which is you knock on Jed's door and say, Jed, we're going to need about $100 million in cash so we can rework four deals and we can sign Brandon to a fresh deal. And then, you know, we're still going to have salary cap issues in theory, but go see your buddy Parag and he'll explain it to you just how far we're kicking this can down the road.
I mean, again, they got a lot of work to do. That's the way I would say
it. Of course.
They're going to have a lot of good work that they're going to have to do. They're going to have to draft well. This is true. But this idea that the Niners are up a creek after this year, better win this year because they're going to stink after that. It's like I told you this a couple weeks ago. Everybody who says that, and I'm not even saying you're wrong, just admit it though. If you say that, tucked under the covers of your point is that you don't think Brock Purdy's very good. That's how I feel. If you think the Niners are just going to automatically stink because salary cap and Brock Purdy $60 million, then it means you don't think Brock Purdy is very good.
And think about what we have right now in the NFL of a high-priced quarterback on a team that's just not very good. Like, if you run down the teams, there aren't that many. Like, Joe Burrow is making a ton of money.
But they're pretty good.
They should be good.
Should be better.
And, you know, Dak makes a lot of money, and they're a playoff team. And, you know, you go around the league for all the other guys. Trevor Lawrence is a tough one because They had a little bit of a down year last year, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
they didn't make it last year. The year before they did. Yeah, last year they had a fade. My bad.
No, but if I look at it right now, where you're like teams who have paid the quarterback and they're just not getting production from their squad in the moment, the Jaguars are a good example. I would say the Chargers are a good example. But then they went out and got a huge name coach. Let's see. Who else? Green Bay moves into that sphere this year. We'll see what they're able to do. Atlanta moves into that sphere this year. The Browns, the Cleveland Browns, made the playoffs, and I know their quarterback wasn't there.
Right.
And then last year, the Broncos, but then they rebooted. So you're absolutely right. The teams who are paying their quarterbacks are the teams who are there in the end. Not the teams who are looking around going, I don't know what to do. I don't know. We were forced to pay this quarterback, and now we don't have any other players.
That's right. I mean, the New York Giants would be the team that would fall under that category.
That's a good point.
And not really forced to pay the quarterback, but they got to that spot where, oh, geez, what are we going to do?
They blinked.
He's pretty good. He's good enough-ish, and so you give him $40 million a year, and right away you're like, oh, boy, that was a mistake.
Let's go to Paul in Pleasanton. Hi, Paul. You're on with Willard and Dibbs.
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, Lynch and Shanahan. We definitely don't need to let them go regardless of what happens this year. You know, instead, what I'm thinking is every job, end of the year, you know, you have your review. You're told, like, what you did, great. And then you're told, like, you know, you could improve in this. So, you know, my view on where Lynch and Shanahan could improve for Lynch, it's the draft. You know, I mean, if you look back at the past 7 years, if I, like, give, like, 3 first rounds for Lance, their record in first round is, like, 2-7, right? Bosa and Ayuk. And so, however, whoever is drafting their lower rounds, well, get their input on who to draft in the first round. And I got to tell you, this year, you know, it's spacing out like that.
Well, I know.
And real quick.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
And then for Shanahan, I've called you guys last year a couple of times on this one, too. It's clock management, right? So could he use, like, a play caller to go work with him here? His play, I mean, you guys probably remember Lynch, you know, calling for the timeout in the first Super Bowl here. I saw that thing again last year. So love to kind of get that. That would be my review on, like, somebody, whether it's Jed York or somebody telling them on where do they need to get better.
Good Lord, if they have Jed York doing clock management, then they are actually a clown show. But I'll just say this to respond to the two things. I don't think there's a football fan in America who thinks that their coach is good at clock management. I don't think that exists. Chiefs fans think Andy Reid needs help with clock management. It's clearly something that must be very hard.
Well, it's like when you watch a game, you don't notice the umpire until he's blown four or five strike calls and those balls are outside the box and you're like, geez, who is this guy? C.B. Buckner again? This guy's terrible. So you don't notice time management, clock management, until something happens. And, well, they ran out of timeouts. They shouldn't have burned that one earlier. Now they got to settle for three. It's like, oh, you're terrible at clock management. A lot of times you don't notice when it's done right.
I'd also say, as far as him saying, why don't you just have the people who are doing the mid and late rounds, why don't you have them do the first round? I'm pretty sure it's the same people. I don't think that the Niners...
John Lynch does the first round, and he goes and parties. That's it, guys. Good night.
Turns out it was Rick Ross who does the fifth round for the Niners, and he's killing it.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's the same people, and I do think it's largely just kind of quirky. I don't think the Niners are just idiots in the first two rounds, and then they turn it on. That's kind of the way. And by the way, it hasn't fully worked out that way. I know it feels that way.
Yeah.
But their first two rounds, half the people were talking about all the Debo and Brandon and Nick Bosa, like all of these guys who you paid. Where'd they come from? They came from the first two rounds. So. I know
there have been some titanic misses now.
Some absolute misses.
Trey Lance. Good he Lord. Counts for three.
Oh, did you see what the Cowboys did with him?
Big news. I'm happy for the young man.
Huge.
Yep.
QB3 again. Join 95.
Number three.
Thank you for join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park. Some personalities out there as well this Friday. Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by Atco Pest Control, the Bay Area's local family-owned pest control company. Coming up next, more on tomorrow's summit and the special guest who's joining us before it even starts. You're going to want to hear about that on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, we'd like to see you. You can't do a read about how much weight you've lost and then turn your camera off.
Because no one can see me.
That's just mean.
Yeah.
It's mean.
Sorry about that.
Don't do that.
Didn't mean to.
We'll see you.
It's camera. Unless you tap the unlock button, it'll follow you now. And if I have to go out and get a drink of water, it follows me to the door. It's a little creepy.
It's super
these
creepy.
Robo cameras.
It's super creepy. I would get to the restroom one time and turn around and it's going to be standing behind me. Hey, what are you doing in here? Camera, go away. All right, listen. This is my one last plea. You got to come see us tomorrow. You have to come see us tomorrow. If you don't, I'll be sad. I don't like being sad. You got to come see us tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful day. Call your boss now and make something up. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, just leave early. Go in early and leave early. Yep.
Like, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of the first week of school for many people, or at least the second week.
I think people...
Our kids have been in for four now, but...
Yeah, like the after Labor Day start is so 1997.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what we did.
Different districts, yeah, but you can always go with the kids got a dentist appointment. One thing I never tried to do ever, and I don't think I ever did, was lie to an employer about a sick kid. That, for me, feels like bad karma.
That's,
like,
I'm
calling sick for your boss on behalf of your kid who's not really sick. Hey, I can't make it. Look. I can't make it in today. My kid's sick. Kid's actually not sick.
Have you ever made up that you're sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's different.
If you can do that, why would you use your kid as an excuse?
Because if it happens to me, then karmically, I had that coming to me. If it happens to my kid... then I feel terrible.
Yeah.
Like if karma gets, your kid's sick, huh?
Wow.
Listen, and all of a sudden my kid is sick?
There weren't many good.
I feel bad.
I get it. There weren't many good things that came out of the pandemic. One of them is if you want the day off from work, if you are a little under the weather, boy, that work will, they'll drive you somewhere. Or they'll send you a car to keep you home. Like, if you show up at the office and you're coughing,
oh boy,
the hell out of here. So you don't have to make it up anymore.
But we don't want those people who are maybe under the weather to come to the summit, do we? Although it is an open roof deck.
Yeah,
come
you got
on
free
up.
Air coming through there. Just stay on the other side of the room, but I'd love to wave to you. You know?
So Mark is advocating all of you go into work tomorrow, just start sneezing around the boss. You'll get sent home.
Yeah,
come on down to Fremont Bank.
You don't need to test or anything like that. Just come on down. It's fine.
Hey, boss, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I think I need to go to the summit of Fremont Bank.
That'd be amazing.
Fremont Boulevard and Capitol Avenue.
Well, and that's the other thing. We're at the bank. So you could just tell your boss, I got to go to the bank.
You got to go to the bank.
And then when...
Also works, yeah.
Yeah, when you're like, take a really long time to get back, just hope that he or she doesn't notice. Or make up some other story.
You wouldn't be lying if you went to Fremont Bank for the Red and Gold Summit. You went to the bank.
Boss, I got to run to the bank. I'll be back. Just try it. Come see us. If you don't know what a summit is, here's what we're doing. The first 2 hours of the Willard and Dibbs show is Willard and Dibbs. And that's it. It's just on location. But after that, then it really ramps up. Because Monte shows up, and Joe shows up, and Steiny shows up, and Guru shows up. And then this time, Lo Neal is going to show up. Mm. And so that's not six, that's seven. Seven people. It's almost going to look like a fantasy draft. Bunch of people sitting in front of laptops saying stupid stuff, just like a fantasy draft. So we're all going to be sitting up there. It's all about the red and gold and the start of the season. It is free and open to the public, first come, first serve. So please come down and join us. And then also, in that first opening two-hour block, at 3 o'clock, we are debuting for the season one of our absolute favorites, and so excited that he is going to be on with us every single Wednesday through the football season. It is Greg Cosell, who through the years with NFL Films and more has broken down tape like no other and brought it to you, the fans, like no other. Here's an example of him doing it with Ayuk back on August 9th when we were embroiled in a holdout.
I mean, I think if you went through, and I've done this with coaches, the top four or five receivers in the league, Ayuk would not be in that category. Now, maybe it's helpful. I watched all of Ayuk's targets again a couple of weeks ago from last year because I knew he was in the news. And if I could, it'll just take a moment. Here's what I finished typing when I watched all his targets. I said he's a sudden explosive mover with nuanced route running traits and outstanding route quickness. He can separate and run away from man coverage on crossers and overs, and he has very good zone awareness to work into voids. He's strong run after catch with open field vision and shiftiness and acceleration. He's more sudden and explosive in short areas. The one thing he does not truly possess is vertical explosiveness. He's a perfect mix of talent and scheme where he is now.
That line at the end is the one that got everybody.
Yep.
He is a perfect mix of talent and scheme where he is now. And that came back on August 9th, Ross Tucker podcast. And obviously, it turns out he didn't know this at the time, and we didn't know this at the time, but that is somewhere between 24 to 48 hours before the 49ers presented Brandon Ayuk with the final offer that he ended up accepting, although he took 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah, he took the 3 weeks, and who knows why he took 3 weeks. Maybe we'll find out someday, probably not, but that breakdown is so perfect as to what we all were thinking with our layman's eyes of he's a perfect fit for this offense. He blocks, he runs good routes, he doesn't need the ball a ton to be impactful on a game. And the fact that he runs such precise routes and crossers and overs and his ability when he gets the ball in his hands after the catch, all those things we can all see, but to have it confirmed by a scout like Greg Cosell is awesome.
Absolutely. And so that kind of stuff, like you can throw, it's really insane. Because, I mean, just think about that. This is for a living now. He's like, I knew he was going to be in the news. So I went and watched every target.
Right.
How many targets did Brandon have last year?
105 was the number.
105. Okay. So that's one player on one team. But if you wanted to go through all the holdouts, right, Greg? Oh, did you do this with Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb? Did you go check out Hassan Reddick, who, by the way, is the only one who still has not shown up and happens to be a New York Jet?
Yep.
But anyway, that's what Greg does. He knows this stuff inside and out. So when we get to tomorrow and we ask him things like, what is your historical knowledge of what a Trent Williams team looks like without Trent Williams? Like, he's going to give you some unbelievable answers to stuff like that. And obviously, Purdy, Of course we'll compare Purdy to the other QBs who've been paid and look around the league. And so we're going to be doing that all year on Wednesdays with Greg Cosell, and yep. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. And, you know, he'll have an eye toward other things that go on in the NFL so we can all fulfill our NFL Jones as well. It doesn't have to just be 100% Niner-centric. We can branch out with Greg because he does watch absolutely everything.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what he says about Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what we're going to see with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I know Baldy has been, like, to a lot of Jets practices, and he's like, it looks great. He looks great, but...
And tomorrow we can get into the idea of the Niners owning him. Aaron Rodgers.
They own him. They've never lost to him.
Yeah, that's funny. In the playoffs, they've never lost to him.
It's true.
In the regular season, though, different story.
Sure.
Hey, actually, a completely different story, and I'll lay it out for you. I did the research today.
But how far back do we go?
I went his whole career against the 49ers.
But I want, like, the Kyle Shanahan era.
Right.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I'll give you the breakout.
Yeah, let's break it down.
They haven't faced each other as much as, you know, he's played the Niners 9 times in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then 4 in the postseason.
Okay.
In his career, 13 matchups.
And the Niners are 4-0 against him in the postseason.
In the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you look at the tape and you look at the games and the stats, it's not Aaron's fault they lost those games.
Well, it never
in
is.
In many ways.
It
no.
never is. Yeah.
Well, and he had some pretty paltry teams that he was surrounded by in some of those games.
As did the Niners at times. At times.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Tom Sula era, they play Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I'm talking about the playoff games.
Okay, got it.
The four playoff games, yeah. Oh. Aaron was not terrible in those games.
Okay.
Not as good as he was in the regular year now.
Yeah. He did have a throw in that Hufanga game that would have put the game away, and he hucked it right over his receiver's head.
Yep.
Wide open down the right sideline. I remember that one.
In a snowstorm.
Yeah, not fair. You know. I got it. Yeah, I know.
No. We're quick to defend Brock Purdy in the rain, but not Aaron Rodgers in a
damn
freaking blizzard.
You're darn right.
All right.
Grandy, what are you doing here in 2 minutes?
Baldy on the morning roast.
Yep.
And then Mark Schlereth, who was on with you guys earlier today.
You're darn right he was.
A couple of hard hitters.
That's a couple of linemen just getting in the trenches and doing the darn thing. So you better listen to Grandy, because that's coming up next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is a place that we like, and we will see tomorrow, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Funniest question I've ever asked you. Want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, on the road, baby.
Let's go. We're doing it. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Carter, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.